Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to grand final week in the NBL to the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bottend.
I'm thrilled because, remember a week or two ago I said the ideal scenario for me would be Tasmania Jack Jumpers in the final against the Illawarra Hawks. Well, we've got it halfway there.
You've got 50%.
It's been fabulous. This week has
been
fabulous.
What a series it's been. Yep. And, you and I sat here and said, I think, Melbourne will go in against Illawarra. And we both said that. But, how good were the Jack Jumpers? Anyway, let's get straight into it. Today, we have a guru of Tasmania, Body. We have the 43rd Premier of Tasmania, who is an absolute basketball junkie. And he is obviously the past Premier. And I am so happy to have him on here. David Bartlett, welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast.
The honour and pleasure is all mine, guys.
I've been
listening to your podcast for some time, man, and praying for the day you ring me up to ask me to be on it. So my G-dubbers are in the grand final, and all my Christmases have come at once.
Wow, Body, see, mate, I thought it was just my mum and dad listening.
There's another one. Look, David, before we get to the Jack Jumpers, which is obviously the story of the, not just of the year, I think it's the NBL story of all time, but just before we get to that, what about yourself? As Brad mentioned, you're a basketball fanatic. So how did that start? Did you play as a kid?
I went to a primary school here in Hobart called Mount Nelson Primary, and there just happened to be one of the parents was a state player for in basketball, and one of the teachers was a basketball obsessive. So Mount Nelson Primary became an incredible basketball school, like a small primary school that ended up having like 16 teams with its own within the school roster on a Tuesday night. So I started playing, it's really interesting too. I meet guys and girls from all around Australia now that went to that primary school who are still involved in basketball. And I played my first game. I remember it was a Friday lunchtime in grade four. I was probably the shortest kid in the whole school.
And I've been there, David. Don't worry. I've been there.
But randomly, I managed to dribble the ball through some guy's legs and score a bucket. And it got mentioned at school assembly on Friday, at the Friday lunch after, the assembly after lunch. And I thought, I've made it now. I've mentioned in the sports report at school assembly. This is the game for me. So I played. Yeah. I played all my life, but never to any, at any great level. Social baller, really. Played lots of high school ball, lots of college ball. Played at university. Played business house for when I worked back at Telecom Australia back in the day. And I'm still having a run round. And probably the last season I played a year or two ago at Men's Division Two Social League, where we put a team. Put a team together with the legendary Mark Nash and Anthony Stewart and our three sons. Nash, Stewart, Bartlett and our three sons. I was definitely the bench warmer because the three sons can play a bit and the two old NBL boys can still jack up a few shots too. So I was definitely working the scoreboard for most of those minutes. But, still like to have a run around and, fell in love with the sport through playing it. But then, of course, through those season ticket holder for 5-6 years at the Tassie Devils, was at the Tassie Devils on the last, the last night, the final night, cried.
Oh, wasn't that emotional? Well, I remember that. Yes. Bill Tomlinson as the coach too. I remember that.
Yep. Yeah. It was heartbreaking at the time. And it really interestingly, right through my political career, Stewie came back to town after playing in Perth and in Cairns. We used to give him a bit of a boo when he came back with the Wildcats and played the Devils. But he used to come and see me even when I was Premier and say, look, how do we get back in the NBL? What can we do? So really, it's been a dream to be back in the NBL and really just to sit next to my own son, who's a 6'4" basketball nut and playing a very good player. Unlike he doesn't get it from his dad, the height or the talent. it's been a love of basketball journey. it's a weird thing when you're a politician in Australia and yeah. you say, oh, no, AFL's not really my sport. I don't really follow AFL. You have to follow AFL as an Australian politician,
yes,
of course.
Yeah. Yes.
And one of the great reliefs when I left the parliament was, oh, thank God I don't have to do footy tipping anymore. So,
oh, I thought you were going to say, thank God I have to, I can tell the truth now. That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was a bit of that as well.
So you've got mixed up with the Hobart Chargers, the Siebel team, or now the NBL one team, as its president. But you were also, if I'm not mistaken, you're also right in the middle of that initial attempt to get Tassie back into the league with the Huskies.
Yeah, so the Huskies, you know, the Chargers story is a really great one. The Huskies one, not so good. A couple of guys came down from the mainland and had heard, and I know, Boddy, you'd been writing about it a bit. You know, I got asked to be, well, I'll tell you the Chargers story first. Anthony Stewart, again, came into my office up in the city of Hobart there, working as a director of a few companies and, you know, in the IT sector, which is really my background, pre-politics and now post-politics, and said, oh, look, the Chargers are on their knees. We're $30,000 in debt and, you know, they're going to kick us out of the league. Can you come and help? And he says to me today, you know, this is 2016. He says he came in and I had NBA games streaming on the big screen in my office. He said, I've got this bloke now. I came in, of course, you know, in classic Stewie style. We were $130,000 in debt, not $30,000 in debt. And I decided, well, rather than just sort of try to save the club, let's use this as a vehicle to start talking about NBL. So I went and did a first press conference, like a classic ex-politician, spun it up, and I didn't even really know what I meant by it. I said, we're going to make this club NBL ready within 3 years. And we set some really aggressive targets. We paid off all our debt. We won the 2018 Siebel Championships against Ngunnawatting. It was a beautiful moment. We restored the club to full financial health. And through that, at the preliminary final on that season in 2018, we had 4,500 people show up to what's now called My State Arena to watch a Siebel game. Right. And I videoed the whole thing and I sent it to Larry Kesselman and said, see, there's a market here. Around that time, these guys arrived out of the blue from the Huskies. They wanted to sponsor the Chargers. They wanted to kind of lead this charge into the NBL. After about 2 or 3 to 6 months, and I helped them build kind of the brand and all of those sorts of things, my suspicion was that they weren't the real deal. And so I really backed away from that. They set us back a bit. But what they also did was teach us a real lesson about, okay, what really do we have to do here to be NBL ready? What does it mean? And as I said, we set a target of we want to be NBL ready in 3 years. My rhetoric changed from being the Chargers being NBL ready to being Tasmania being NBL ready. And 3 years and 4 months. So I missed my deadline by 4 months. Larry Kesselman came down and announced he was putting a team here. So you know, we went on a journey and we really just tried to build basketball from the grassroots up in schools and really try to put on a show at Siebel level at the Doohan Entertainment Centre, which is now My State, that looked a bit like an NBL game. So people would come along and go, oh, we remember what this was like. And yeah, it really inspired the community. And it was probably, you know, apart from being Premier, I should say, probably the greatest journey of my life. I've loved every second of it. It's been great.
That's such a great story. I want to pick your brain now because there is so many things running through my mind and it's so awesome. And that's why we wanted you on the show. Jared Weeks is a very good friend of mine and he has said to me this has been his favourite year. What is going on down in Tasmania? Forget the basketball. It's just what it does for the state of Tasmania. I get goosebumps every time I hear defend the island. I just love it.
Yeah.
What does it mean for Tasmania? You are the best person to ask that.
Yeah, look, Tasmania is a funny place. I do a lot of work in New Zealand, and I think in some ways Tasmanians are more like New Zealanders than mainlanders. I do a lot of work in WA as well. And the thing we have in common with the WA people is we're secessionists almost. We see ourselves as a bit different. We ain't Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. And don't try and come and tell us, you know, what to do or how to do it down here sort of stuff. There's a bit of a chip on our shoulder.
Love it.
And there's a bit of a, you know, we'll show you lot kind of thing.
Well, you're playing like that too. The team's playing like that. It's great.
Look, this is the beauty of it too. I know Scott Roth when he got here and he had no players for a few months, he went around the state and talked to everyone in basketball. And he said, well, what is the character of this? And he talked to everyone around the state. He just said, tell me about the state. What is the character of this state? And it, and I heard him do an interview just the other day. I haven't heard this from him direct, but I saw it on an interview. And he said, look, what people told me was that Tasmania is a gritty, hard-working, working class, but proud, and will back... You know, we'll back winners if they – winners or losers, they'll back as long as they think they are given 100%. We don't care. And that's what he went out and recruited, and that's, I think, largely why it's been such a success here. And I guess the other thing, you know, this kind of defend the island thing is such a beautiful piece of work.
Brilliant.
And what we've – what we know now, too, is that it's every basketball fan in Australia, if you ain't a Sydney Kings fan – you're going for the Jack Jumpers over this over this grand final series.
I'll tell you one thing, mate. As a Sydney Kings fan, I'm not sure who I'm going for. I sit here and I actually did a radio interview with actually Triple M today, right? With Triple M Hobart. And I said to them, I'm in a win-win situation. I really am. Because if Tasmania win... good on them. Good mate of mine, as I said, Jared gets it. But just it's just the story of what the NBL would just love. And if the Kings win, well, of course, as a former player, I love it. But, mate, what this team has done, I get goosebumps every time I think of it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Jared had a couple of seasons down here with the Hobart Chargers as well. Yes. So he's well known. And when he was signed, there was a real sense of, beauty. You know, Jared's coming home. And, hasn't he played a role, particularly in the second half of the season? Yeah. He's won I think he's turned a couple of games where he knocked down 2 threes in a row and, you know, we were out of that game and it was him that turned it. And then, you know, every time I bump into him now, I see him, I want to check the scar on his forehead because he took that big
Sydney watch.
In a few, with 12 stitches or so. You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mickey's wife says, if you don't do what I need you to do with the newborn baby, there might be another one coming, I'll tell you.
The other thing about Tasmania and, you know, a couple of things. One is, you know, we're a north-south divide. There's no doubt about it. And that goes back to 240 years of European settlement, notwithstanding the 40,000 years of Aboriginal history before that, of course, and recognising that. But, you know, European settlement really was Irish convict Catholics in the south because we were a penal colony and, you know, landed gentry, Anglican wealthy people in the north of the state. And 240 years later, actually, that still plays out in Tasmanian society a bit. And so there's a real north-south divide, but I have never, ever seen anything unite the whole state. There's no north side divide. There's no argument about whose team this is. It's a Tasmanian team. Yes. Whether you're in Ulverston, you know, Burnie, which is actually the northwest coast, really is the home and heart of basketball, I believe, in Tasmania. You know, whether you're in Launceston, whether you're in Hobart, you're a Jack Jumpers fan, and there's no doubt about that. The other thing about living in a smaller place like this, you know, population of 540,000 spread across the state, but Hobart itself is only a population. Greater Hobart's 220,000, so it's a Geelong-sized town, really, is you know everyone. And you see them, you know, like, this, I've got to know a few of these guys, the players and stuff, but I bump into them in the street, and you stop for a chinwag, you know? And that's what Hobart's like. You expect your politicians to be very accessible, can be very grinding as a politician. Trust me, you can't go to the supermarket without, you know, having to have conversations.
I think it's abused.
We expect to see these Jack Jumpers around our community, in the supermarket, you know, in the streets. And a lot of them have got young babies, you know, Clint, Josh, Jared, as you said, Sammy Mack, you know, young kids, so they're family guys. And they are out and about, and people have fallen in love with them, not just on the court, but deep in our community and out and about and being seen.
Boddy, I'm getting the feeling that he's proud of this. What do you think, mate?
Well, you see, the thing is, a lot of these guys are actually good blokes. And quite apart from being good basketball players, they're decent human beings. So to have them representing you, you're happy with that. But, David, I'm really thrilled that you actually explained the history of that divide in Tasmania. Because on the mainland here, we've been aware of it for a long time, that Tasmania is fragmented, but never why. And that's a really good explanation.
Yeah. I say that out loud sometimes in Tasmania, and it can feel a bit controversial, but it's true. You still, you know, Launceston still sees it as itself as the economic, if you like, heart of Tasmania and looks down a bit on Hobart being, you know, just your public servants and prisoners, really, which is what we were. You know, so there's this interesting divide there, and it still goes on some generations. It's not palpable. You have to really deeply know Tasmania to understand that about it, I think. And, you know, when you end up in politics for 10 years and Premier for 3.5 or whatever, you tend to think you know a bit about the place by the end of it. But look, I said in an interview the other day, there's three great loves in my life, and family is the first, of course. Tasmania is actually the second, and the third is probably basketball. So what the Jack Jumpers have done for me, sitting at that game 2 against Melbourne United, I had my 18-year-old son, sitting in between myself and my wife, front row. I can afford better seats now than I could back in the devil's days, so that's a good thing too. Yes. Front row, the three of us just like, this is what we did. All of that volunteer work through the Chargers and through the years, and I coach at the Kings, local Kingborough Kings is our local club that I coach at, my son plays at. You know, all of those thousands of hours of volunteers, and believe me, it's not just me. There's hundreds of people who have put in thousands of hours of volunteer work to make this happen. You just sit there. We sat there on Saturday night at that game too and went, holy moly, look what we did. So
that's pretty, and you know what? The whole of Australia did that as well, Dave.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're wrong. Yeah. Let me just ask you this. All right, now this is where it comes down to everything. Who wins and why?
Look, I have another story from the other day. I was watching
good response so far, Dave.
He's not a politician by any chance, is he?
No. I was a bit bleak about this game, and my son, Hudson, came in and he says to me, Dad, you're such an optimist. In life, you are such an optimist and always positive and upbeat about things. But when it comes to basketball, you're a miserable bastard. You always think you're going to lose. And I said to him, mate, you go for the Tassie Devils and the New York Knicks all your life, and you find out what a miserable bastard you can become.
Absolutely.
In basketball.
Oh, God.
But he said this to me 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I said, right, I'm going to really change my attitude around basketball games. Because when I'm coaching, when I'm watching his game, when I'm watching him, the Knicks, when I'm watching anything, I always think we're going to lose. Always think we're going to lose. But in the last 4 weeks, I've changed my attitude, and I actually think I absolutely believe, and I'm getting printed up at the moment in at the office a couple of T-shirts that say, why not us, which is the quote love from Scott Roth going around at the moment. Why not us? And I just think if we can come barnstorming out with the level of adrenaline, aggression, hunger and passion and grit, and then it's going to take something a little bit special, a Josh Adams going off, which he does, Jack McVay dropping them from, you know, two or three in a row from the logo. It's going to take something special on top of that grit. But why not us? I think we'll win it in form.
Yes, look, it's we have a columnist here in South Australia called Rex Jury, who used to be a political writer, but back in the 90s when the Crows had reached the grand final of the AFL, first against, I think it was St Kilda and then North Melbourne, both times he wrote, why not us? Exactly those words. You know, why is everyone thinking that St Kilda's going to win or that North Melbourne's going to win? Why not us? Why not? Just, you know, and as it turns out, the Crows win both those premierships. So when I heard Scott Roth say that, I thought, well, you know what? We've got it wrong. Those of us like to think that we know something about the game, we have got it wrong right from the word go. You know, when the team was announced and then you had the competition, I believe there were like 10,000 entries for the nickname, and it comes up with Jack Jumpers. Here on the mainland, we go, Jack Jumpers, what the hell is that? That's not going to work. That's terrible. That's awful. But it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So we're getting it wrong.
As soon as we Tasmanians are like, oh, Jack Jumpers, that's a nasty, nasty piece of work, a Jack Jumper is. Trust me. You get bitten by a Jack Jumper, and you know about it for 2 weeks. It hurts, right?
And ask Melbourne United.
We were a little bit ambivalent about the name until we heard all you mainlanders saying, well, this name sucks. And we went, we locked right in behind it then. Then it was definitely our name.
But that's the point. That's the point I'm making, that we got everything wrong. We thought, oh, look, these guys, they're the second-tier blokes that weren't really doing much at the other clubs. maybe they win six games. Well, they win 17. Yep. They win nearly three times that amount. Like, we don't see that. At 2-6, everyone's saying, oh, their imports, oh, geez, they're a bit dodgy. You know, yep. We talked about it. Brad and I talked about it, and we had our doubts.
David, just to let you know, I said I had no doubt all make the grand final, all right? Just to let you know, mate. I don't know what Boddy's going on about.
Lying bastard. I hope when you get
struck by lightning. The truth is, I share an office with Mark Nash and Anthony Stewart because we own a little company down here called Swisher Hoops Academy running basketball stuff. And nice. And on the whiteboard when they were 2-6, we put up our predictions for the season. I'm not going to tell you who got who, but the maximum prediction was 10 that games to win when we were 2-6 between the three of us. And I think Mark Nash and Anthony Stewart know Tasmanian basketball better than pretty much anyone I know.
They've exceeded
our expectations as well.
Yes. But there you go. It goes right down to the last moment of the season, of the regular season. It's not even, I mean, you've done the job on Melbourne United. I think they didn't put their best foot forward, thinking that they might get an easier semi-final matchup if Jack Jumpers had been there. Careful what you wish for, Dean, and the
Absolutely.
Boys. But, you know, like, it's not even overtime, it's the last game of the season. And it's 2 points. I mean, it's just like the drama couldn't be greater, and then you do what we again thought, well, all right, now Melbourne sort of flexes its muscles and maybe this goes three games. That's what I thought. I thought you'd go three. I thought you would win in Hobart. I thought the crowd, the atmosphere, the love, the strength.
The crowd's worth 15 points, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
but you know, win the series, no. And something works in your favour. I mean, because I haven't even mentioned that Will Magnay played 11 games, and he's the guy you're going to build the team around. He hasn't even been there for the bulk of it. Mm. And then Chris Goulding's out, so United can lament that. It definitely hurt them, but so what? You win that game. I think this has just been the most extraordinary story. And I look at how good the Sydney Kings are, but I'm still thinking, why not us? Why not you? Why not the Jack Jumpers? You know, why not?
There's no doubt in my mind that the Sydney Kings, up close and personal, they were the best team on our floor all year. No doubt about it.
It's theirs to lose.
It's theirs to lose. And I reckon they may well be crapping themselves up there. I like to get into a bit of Twitter banter with Paul Smith and the owner, and with Julian O'Brien, who's next Tassie boy, who's now suddenly a Kings fan.
Haven't I given him heaps as well, I tell you, all of a sudden, eh?
But, you know, they're the thoroughbreds, they're the show ponies, they're the, you know, I reckon they're feeling pretty confident, but I don't think they've felt the full Jack Jumper sting yet. And I think we're going to come out. It's going to be a grind. It won't be the prettiest basketball you've ever seen, which is what they'd like to play.
No, it's what you need. It's what Tasmania needs.
Ugly, grinding basketball that's going to win this game, these games. And I think we will win it in four, is my prediction.
Well, let me tell you. Oh, sorry, buddy. I was going to say, let me tell you, as a Sydney Kings man and someone who's in Sydney, they are shitting themselves. Don't think anything else. They know this team can do anything. I do believe, I mean, I'm talking from me, not from the team. I have no doubt they should believe it's theirs to win if they do what they do. But you look at Melbourne. I think they thought it was theirs to lose.
Yeah, absolutely they did.
And my thing now is, if there was the most improved in the NBL, that's going to Jack McVeigh. That guy has been phenomenal.
Yes.
Phenomenal what he's done in this last couple of weeks.
Not only phenomenal as a on-court, but off-court, he's almost been the character and spirit of the team. You know, if you look at one guy who really personifies what this team is about, you know, from engagement with the community through to, you know, grit and determination and hard work and so on, he's the guy that best personifies the whole team to me.
Amazing.
In fact, I'm standing here wearing the Jack McVeigh away jersey. I'm about to go and get on a plane in about half an hour's time, and I'll be wearing it everywhere I go in Brisbane. Unfortunately, I can't get to the first game in Sydney.
I wish you were going to Adelaide.
There's nothing here, mate. There's nothing here.
No, just with that Jack McVeigh shirt, sir. The one we lost.
Yeah, remind them. Remind them.
But that was the other point too, though, that I was just going to make a second ago, was that you've also beaten every team. You've beaten Sydney. So it's not like this is rare air or unfamiliar territory. You know you've got a way to beat them because you've done it before. So I think this is going to be an absolutely fantastic grand final series. I can't, the rest of Australia, we're all barracking for Tasmania. You know, we absolutely are. But we're coming to the end of the interview, David. So we'd like to finish off by asking, you know, playing a word association game.
Yeah, good.
We throw some names at you, and then you try and give us a one-word response, or the first thing that pops in your mind, or a sentence, or an anecdote if you've got them. But generally speaking, we're just sort of going for the word association. I've got some weird ones here, so I'm going to throw the first one at you. David Stiff.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, Stiffy. Love the boy. Oh, just... one of my all-time favourite Devils players. But the first word is Stiffy. That's all he ever got called here.
Hey, he was in Sydney when we won a championship and I was an assistant coach then as well. Trust me, we were calling him that as well. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I've got one for you.
In lots of ways, he's the Devils equivalent of Jack McVay. You know, he's that edgy, high guy, gets everybody going. You know?
I just remember what a glue he was and how good he was for the Kings. I'm going to throw one at you, Wayne McDaniel.
All-time legend. We've had him at Swisher. We've had him running a signature series for our kids down here. It's really interesting. We've had him for 14 weeks, so we've flown him down every home game to play, to see Sam play, and we've paid him to do clinics at Swisher Hoops Academy. Every single one of those clinics that we launched through the season, over 14 weekends, sold out within about 3 hours.
And you know what? We don't hear that. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know that. And that is so good at what you guys are doing. You're ticking every box. It is brilliant. I saw Wayne McDaniel on that TV. Mate, I'm surprised. I didn't even see him sit down the whole game. He is jumping up and down there on the front. He was going on like a lunatic. Mind you, we did have him on this show and he's a legend. But, oh, mate, great answer. Great answer.
Yep. Love him. Love him.
All right, I got one for you. Scott Roth.
Tasmanian. That's what I'm going to call him. You don't get to be called a Tasmanian until you've lived here at least half your life, and that has to be over 25 years, and then maybe we'll go, you're sort of a local now, right? Yeah. Oh, you're Tasmanian? Oh, no, you're born somewhere. Oh, no, you're not really. Scott Roth, Tasmanian.
I'll go next one. Larry Kesselman.
Larry, I have loved working with Larry. I'm going to try and find the right word here. A lot of people use the word visionary. I would more call Larry the great transactor. You know, he understands how to get stuff done, how to get transactions done. And he really, you know, right from day one, I didn't want to go and see him too early. Everyone was saying, oh, now you're saying NBL already. Go and see Larry. You know, ring up Larry. I'm like, no, I'm leaving it until I've got something to show him. So I left it for a year and a half until we were really building that 2018 season. I went, rang him up and said, I want to come see you. I'm this little old, you know, washed up politician from Tasmania. And he listened and he learned and he was very skeptical. And he said, dunno, don't reckon Tasmania's on the cards. That our first meeting at a cafe in St Kilda. But he listened and he learned and he understood and he saw what we were doing and he saw the groundswell. And he also saw the opportunity to build a different model. He has control of the stadium here. And I think that is the absolute key to making sustainable regional teams. So you want to go to Canberra, having control of the stadium where you can make some money, you know, having a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert when the basketball's not on, or you can sell beer and pies. Or chips. That's how you make regional city small market teams like the Jack Jumpers survive, and that's what the NBL haven't cracked before. But I think they've cracked it with this model.
I couldn't agree more. And great one word answer. I thought that was brilliant. Thank you for that.
See, here's the problem, lads. Never ask a politician to give a one word answer.
Well, this one's going to stump you because my last one for you is Scott Morrison.
Which one? The coach of Perth Wildcats, or I reckon they're both on the way out. Let's just say that.
that's
you know what? I had another one, but I'm not asking it. On that, it's what we're going to finish. David, I am so happy you came on here. For all our listeners, you know, when Boddy said, you know, this is, you know, David can come on, I was like, this is perfect. Defend the island. We couldn't want anyone else. So, mate, thank you so much for joining us. I sort of say to you, I wish you all the best, but I really don't, right? So, but
I do, though. Yeah. 100%.
Secretly, I do. It is one of those things where you're just so happy, you know, like, and it's so good. The challenges will come next year, but we'll talk about that separately. David, thank you so much. You've been a blessing to have on this show, and obviously you and the Jack Jumpers the best.
It's been a real honour to be with you lads. I really love everything you do, and it's great when we have independent guys like you talking about basketball, raising the profile of the sport across the nation, and it's just a great thing, and we love everything you do, so keep up the good work, and Jackies are on the march.
Yeah, go those Jack Jumpers. Love it. Thanks, love David.
It. See you later. Thank you.
Mate, I've got a new love for premiers. How good was he? Wasn't he brilliant? Just the passion.
That's why I wanted to have him on, because I thought, you know, we really need someone that can embody what's going on in Tasmania and someone who's lived through it all. And he was the perfect man. But for me, the best part of that was learning what the historic divide is between North and South. You know, I would never understood it.
And I hope our listeners hear that. We got a different perspective. We didn't get, what did you do to grow up in basketball? What have you done? We heard how the Jack Jumpers came about. And that's what I love.
And the thing is, too, quickly following on that, that's the difference between you and I, too. South Australia was settled by free settlers. You're a bloody convict in New South Wales. So that's the difference between, that's why we don't get along.
Sorry, mate, you cut out then. mate, look, we can talk Kings and Jack Jumpers. Everyone's talking about Kings and Jack Jumpers. We'll go over that. I want to hear you wrap up. Tell me about Melbourne United. Tell me about Illawarra. Just quickly on them.
Like, I think Melbourne obviously would be extremely disappointed with the way their season finished. And I think what it showed was two things. Like, and I've said it before, careful what you wish for. I think if you try to manipulate results, and I'm not saying that they did it deliberately, but, you know, when Matthew Dellavedova, Jack White, David Barlow were missing from the last game in Hobart against Tasmania, Jack Jumpers, and I'm not sure you're putting your best foot forward. And when you do that, you know, I can recall maybe Australia did that at a world championship in, say, 2014. And it kind of backfires. It does. It sends a subliminal message. And then that's not good. Not good to your players, no matter what you're thinking or how confident you are. And then you lose Chris Gording. And it just shows when you need a basket, you've got to have that player that can create that basket for himself or can just come down and transition and bang that three. And that's Chris Gording. Without him, I'm going to jump in there.
That's where I think the Jack Jumpers have to be different against the Kings, because they have those three-point shooters, right, where they could just camp in and make Melbourne didn't look like they could kick one in the ocean that night. But I just want to finish on what you were saying. Should have they gone for another import? Only one import? Does that come back to bite you now or not? Nah, it's irrelevant because they could have won it with who they had.
No, they could have won it with who they had. And that was also the case for Perth.
Yes, you know, like
Perth could have made the playoffs on who they had. So things fell apart and that sort of, they've got to go take a bit of a take stock and what went wrong. And all along, all through the year, Brad, I've said it many times that I was concerned about Illawarra in the end game. I was concerned that they have some players with bad habits. And when you get that wasn't a cue, by the way. But when you are under pressure, you revert to your habits. So no matter how team-oriented you are when the game's in its flow and it's going, it's fine. But now we're under pressure, it's finals, you're going to revert back to what you do. And if what you do is come down and just pull up and jack a shot or drive and throw a floater up or, you know, if that's what you do, that's what you're going to do. And I think Illawarra's personnel on paper was far better this year than it was the previous year when they made the semifinals. But I don't think you got anywhere near as much from Sam Froehling. I was disappointed with Harry Froehling, you know, coming in. I thought he was going to have a big impact, didn't, you know, and I thought at key times their imports let him down. I was disappointed with them because we really thought that series was going to go the three games and maybe the other one wouldn't. And, you know, we got to ass up, let's be honest. Disappointed for Illawarra and disappointed what the future is there. So give me a Rose and Rattler, let's move on.
Well, I'm glad you asked about that because it's Illawarra, right? Now, I they've had two good seasons. One could argue they should have gone a step further this year and go to the grand final, but it didn't happen and they got beaten by a very good team. Yes. How the hell are they letting Brian Gorjian walk out of this team? I cannot fathom that. I don't care what's going on in the media and everything. You need to keep that bloke because I'm telling you, it will be a rebound effect. You won't see Cleveland come back. I don't know what other players are going to be doing. And now I know they may be contracted and they're going to put, you know, his assistant, Jacob Jacquemus, in as assistant. Mate, yep. I'm thinking, how can that happen? Now, unless something comes out that he's going to another team and everything, something's not right in Illawarra because Gorge would not be doing this. And I don't know what it is. I'm not saying I do. But what I am saying, Dory Kadani left a couple of weeks ago. Brian Gorgian's left now. Something's not right in that club.
Couldn't agree more. From looking at it from Brian's perspective, which we should get him back on the program, Brad. That's
yes,
what we should
we
do
will.
In the next couple of
we
weeks.
Will.
But
yes.
Looking at it, I'm sort of wondering if he's not just doing an Alistair Clarkson as he did in the AFL with Hawthorn, you know, probably their most successful and greatest coach in that club. And then he's kind of just stepped away and he's probably taken a year off to recharge the batteries. Now, look at what Gorge has been through personally in the last, since he got back from China. He's coached Illawarra into the finals. He's coached Australia to a bronze medal. He's coached Illawarra into the semifinals. Maybe at 68, he just wants a little bit of a break. You know, I'm sure there are mitigating circumstances. I'm not disputing that for a second, Brad. There are mitigating circumstances that we don't know.
100%, 100%.
But I don't think recharging your batteries is a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying that that's the case.
No, that's what he's doing.
Two very, very strong people have walked out of that club. That just doesn't happen, mate, when you're sitting first or second on the ladder, which they were when this all started, right? Shouldn't. So anyway, talk to me. What's your nodge nasty?
Oh, it's not really nasty. I'm just thrilled at how this Jack Jumpers team has managed to capture the attention and the love of Australia. You know, it's such a great story. But in saying that, I think we've a little bit kind of overlooked Sydney. Now, I've never been a huge fan of the Kings, but this Sydney
really?
Team,
I've never noticed, mate.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's why I like to break.
I'm glad you said Sydney Kings. I just thought you meant Sydney Kings ex-captain Brad Rosen, but at least you stopped at the Sydney Kings.
Your convict stock. Look, what I want to say, though, is that this is a very good team. It's a very good team. And arguably, one of the lineup is deep. It's talented. You know, you look at Jalen Adams and you look at Ian Clark and Jarrell Munn. You go, that's three good imports that could be playing on any team in the league easily, which you can't say about a lot of the other imports. And then you look at what Xavier Cooks brings, what Dejan Vasiljevic brings. And it goes deep. It's look, I really like that team, and I think we need to give them some credit. Well done. They
sorry, just say that again for me. Sorry about Sydney Kings. What'd you say? You have to what? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a blank.
I nearly got you to say it twice.
Anyway, I'm really looking forward to the grand final series. I think our hearts are with Tasmania, heads are with Sydney. See what happens. I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks very much for your time. And
thank you.
Goodbye.
Boston, I've loved it. Thank you to everyone.
See you
thank
next
you for
week.
Listening to us. Of course, to our fantastic sponsors, Burger Boss. Thank you so much for what they've done. To Piranha Media, love the support that we're getting from you guys. And look, to everyone, keep the messages coming. We love it. We're doing this because we're just two passionate, old, cranky people that have nothing better to do. But we absolutely love it. And we enjoy doing exactly what we're doing. To everyone else, have a great week and enjoy the NBL Grand Final.
Now, you know what I liked most about the Jack Jumpers all season? They just give you an honest effort. They give you an honest effort every time they walk on the floor. And there's so many of our clubs that have got bigger budgets.
Yep.
And you look at them, you go, you don't give an honest effort.
And when I was listening to David Bartlett, what did he say? We'll support you. Just give us that effort.
Yep.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Gives me goosebumps. Remember, defend the island.
What does that mean? What, are they under threat? All right. See you next time.